Welcome to the Cover Zero podcast. This is our week 14 recap show. It's reaction night here after a Sunday of football. I'm your host tonight, Jordan, joined by Jay. As always, my bro. 3-0, I guess. How does that, what kind of taste you got in your mouth after that game? Like, how you feeling about that?
You know what? You took it in a different direction, bro, because I thought you was going to ask me how was I doing. I thought that's
what well, I usually ask.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I'm tired of the Raiders losing, bro. That's how I'm doing right now. But you kicked it off in another way, the way I was going to talk about it anyway. I don't know, bro. That was crazy. I mean, come on, man. You after the bye week like that, you know, we talked about the offensive coordinator a little bit. What can he do, you know, after the two wins of the Jets and the Giants, you know, when teams start to scheme on him. Mm-hmm. I felt like he some of the play calling was the issue. Aiden O'Connell, we kind of talked about him before, you know, we started the show. And he just ain't it, man. He's more of a backup. You know, holds on to the ball a little bit too long. You know, and that's him really trying to not finding wide receivers at times. He gets a little bit too erratic as well. You know, when he gets the pressure, he's a little bit shaky. So it's just, it's crazy. I mean, the defense showed up. We talked about Patrick Graham a couple times over the last few weeks. The defense is definitely where it's at, regardless of who the head coach is going to be next season. But, I mean, 0-0. On both teams, that's got to be a shame for Kevin's team over there, Kevin O'Connell's team, you know, because Josh Dobbs, for the most part, you know, outside of last week, he didn't play all that, but he's been playing pretty well. So
right, he did. And then they pulled him tonight.
They pulled him. They pinched him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pinched him for Nick Collins, you know, or Nick Mullins, you know, so.
Mullins got the field goal drive.
Got the field goal. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. This is the type of the game where no team feels horrible, but no team feels happy.
Right.
You know, I mean, I guess the Vikings winning, they feel like, yeah, I guess we got the win.
Right.
The Raiders, like, we just showed, it was like really, you know, an affair on both different sides of the ball. Never even honestly really got into like field goal range. The offense was so inept. It smelled, it reeked.
We got in field goal range. I think
twice. Hunter fumbled.
Yeah, the one time Aiden took a sack, and then the second time the Hunter
knocked
fumbled.
Hunter fumbled. Yeah,
which remind me of the Arizona. Not to cut you off, I just
no. You're. I was thinking the same thing live, bro.
You know, like come on, bro. You got to hold on to the ball. One thing I cannot stand is players, and he didn't really complain, but us fans and everybody else, we complain about different players not getting the ball, really not playing well, coaches not using them, and then when they get used. They don't show up, whatever position it is, whether it's offense or defense. And Hunter has showed up for the last couple weeks. But you know how he get, bro. When he catch the ball and he start running with it, they swatting at that ball. And if you notice, when he goes to the ground, sometimes it's moving, bro. So, you know, he's been really close having a couple fumbles this year. So,
yeah, that's a part of the scouting report on playing him. When you attack him, you know, like it can be a little bit loose in there. And we've seen that lately pop up with him over the last couple of seasons. But, I mean, you know, it's – The inefficiencies of this team showed up a lot today. A lot to look forward at as we progress throughout the course of the year. This isn't a time, as we said off air, that you need to even think about starting a different quarterback or something like that. Sure, because Aiden may not be the answer for the future. Doesn't mean that you're going to benefit anything from starting a different quarterback that's on the roster right now. You know what I mean? This is just where we're at. And unfortunately for guys like Max Crosby, who balled out today, just that guy, man. Raider Nation, a lot of y'all, in some ways, this team doesn't deserve him. In some ways.
Yeah.
Raiders are always, you know, with the Raider mystique and all those type of things and the honorary aspect of it, he embodies that completely. But with just how this whole roster is set up to win right now, this is a dude in his prime who's killing, who's just a consummate pro. And a lot of franchises don't have a guy like Max Crosby or Devontae Adams.
Right.
So
I got to agree with you, bro. I mean, you know, players like that, it sucks to say, you know, because we don't come around those type of players that often, especially Raider fans. So it sucks to say that, you know, we don't deserve them because in a sense, you know, you feel like you do because we don't come around those players. But when you get those type of players, you want them to be on winning teams. And, you know, Max, he's been playing with us for a little minute now, man, and he's on a second contract. And he's only had one winning squad, you know. So and Devontae, obviously, you know, his situation. So he just got here and it's not looking too pretty for him. So. No. I agree with you there, bro.
Yeah, 100%. Not looking too pretty over there. We'll see how everything falls into place from here on out. But speaking of other things that aren't looking too pretty, that's with what we have in our What's Going On segment tonight. Every Sunday, we try to recap things that happened in the week of football, be it on Thursday, be it on Sunday. and what made us either take notice in a good way or what either really stood out and was exposed in one way or another over the course of the week in football. And Jay, as we kick off tonight's What's Going On.
Oh, wow. Is them again? Cover Zero, nice to hear from you again. This is the NFL Executive Office. How can I help you today?
What? Remember, I just have one question.
And what is your question?
What's going on? What's going on? I think this is the first time on the show we have ever had a throwback to Thursday. With that, I love it, though, because it's very warranted and deserving.
Right.
Go ahead and tell them, bro.
It's got to be the Steelers, bro. You know, it's crazy.
It lingered over to Sunday.
It did. And I had a feeling it probably would because their story goes a little bit deeper. It's the last 2 weeks, you get two home games. You go against two teams that's only got two wins. You're 7-4. You got an advantage here to really, you know, to really take off in the AFC conference. That is a tough conference. There's a tougher conference in the NFC. And they just failed, bro. They got blew out by the Cardinals at home. You know, and one thing we could say about the Steelers was the defense. And the defense has let them down in both games. The offense, both we know we're going to get the offense played okay against New England.
Bad offense is putting up 20-plus against them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah, bro, bad offenses. Bad offenses. I like how you bad offenses have put up 20 plus versus a really good Steelers defense. That's unacceptable, bro. And again, you know, you look at the opportunity that they had. Back-to-back home game. Steelers been solid at home. You know, I just don't understand how you allow that to happen. You know, especially with the Patriots. The Cardinals, I know they've had moments where they've looked good. I know they only had two wins, but there's moments where they showed up on offense at times. But the Patriots, that was like a, you know, I just couldn't. I had a feeling that game was going to be close because of how bad both offenses, you know, are. But New England jumped on them quick. I mean, they put up 21 points really, really quick.
Early. So, it was funny. I knew I wanted to actually bet on the over bet the under, my bad, for that game. The over-under for that game was actually at 30 points. And we had seen a lot of times with New England the previous week before, they didn't even score a point against the Chargers the week before. If you don't score a point against Brandon Staley's defense in 2023, I mean, what are we – what's that say about our offense? And that's what they were coming on the heels of. Right. And then you go against this Patriot, this Steeler defense, like you mentioned, that is good. Joey Porter Jr. over there looking like the best corner in the draft right now out of this rookie class. Right. T.J. Watt on a defensive MVP type of caliber performance. They've gotten good contributions out of Keanu Benton, their other rookie, and Alex Highsmith on the other edge. He's been being able to capitalize and been an exceptional number two. And now they're going against these teams after getting rid of Matt Canada.
Yeah.
That they should be easily beating.
Yeah.
And they can't do nothing. Like you going 3-14 on third down against the Patriots? This defense let, what was his name? I keep wanting to say
Billy Zappi.
Bailey Zappi. But I mean, like the Patriots defense going against Tommy DeVito. Oh, was that his name? Tommy DeVito with the Giants?
Yeah.
Put up more points than what this Steelers offense did and did a better job against them than what this, like, we are in a spot that, bro, this Steelers team hasn't made sense all year. And they continue to make less sense when it seems like they get rid of one of the culprits that's made them bad in Matt Canada. But that's not the case.
Right. It's not, bro. And a little bit more I want to add to another reason why I say what's going on with the Steelers, and I say it goes deeper, is not just the two games they lost back-to-back, but the locker room seemed to really be folding. I mean, you got players that's almost like they don't want to be there. George Pickens, we've heard what he, you know, his stuff. You know, Deontay Johnson. It's just a lot of things coming out that normally wouldn't come out in on a Mike Tomlin football team, you know, and so it just seemed like it's a locker room chaos going on too, and they don't seem like they're really on board with Kenny Pickett, who's supposed to be the guy of the future for them. Obviously, he hasn't played like it, but you know, it just looks bad. Just outside of the losses, that's one thing, but now with the locker room and everything else going on, it makes it look even worse. And then you got Mika Fitzpatrick that came out and said, we need everybody in. We need everybody. Like there's people that's not trying. That's not good. That's a defensive player saying that. So now it's not just offense. You got defensive guys that's also coming out saying stuff too. So it goes a lot deeper with the Steelers, man. So they're definitely my what's going on.
It's and it started like a week ago. It was on that play where Deontay Johnson had that like Calvin Johnson-ish catch where he came down with it, didn't control the ball. They took the touchdown off the board. Then the following possession, there was a fumble that rolled by Deontay Johnson. He didn't even try to get it, and then Minka went at him in the locker room for a lack of effort. These aren't normally things that you see from the Steelers. Right. I mean, right. These aren't there, and now they're very, very present with this team right now in 2023. So right. That's a good one, man. Right. I'm with you on that one. My what's going on today, I'm going to move over to the NFC here. I got the Detroit Lions today. The Lions coming into this game were first in the NFC North. They were sitting at 9-3 with a position to grab their 10th win on the season. And the Chicago Bears beat them 28-13. Going into this game, I just kind of want to set the table a little bit for like how like atrocious this kind of is for like the spot that the Lions could have put themselves in and where we expect them to be and the bed that they've made for themselves. All it's ready to do now is sleep in it.
Yeah.
And these fools, I don't know what happened. The Bears, in terms of points allowed per game,
right,
were allowing the tie for the fifth most in the NFL, 24.7 per game. The Lions were scoring, also tied for the fifth most, 27 points per game. Today, the final score was 28-13. We got two teams going in completely opposite directions with what happened today. The Bears had 17 sacks going into this game, the fewest in the NFL. Jared Goff, behind what we consider to be one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, was sacked four times. That's a quarter of the total, basically, that this team has accumulated throughout the course of the year against other offensive lines that weren't that of the Lions or that didn't have a quarterback who was at least good enough to get rid of the ball and find other solutions for this offense.
Right.
It was very, very bad today. I mean, one of the top offenses in short going against one of the worst defenses today had 5 total turnovers. Jared Goff today, I think he was only what he threw. He was 20 of 35, 161 yards, one touchdown, 2 picks, and a fumble. Amon-Ra St. Brown finished the game with 3 grabs. There was just different miscues all over the place. There was a swing pass out of a 4x1 set. Nice call by Ben Johnson here. And then it was just dropped by Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
They allowed the Bears today. There was, at the end of the third quarter, when it was still more or less a game, they allowed the Bears to convert a 4th-and-13 for a touchdown. They jump off sides. Field snaps the ball. He goes ahead and targets DJ Moore down the left sideline. Touchdown. It was absolutely insane. They absolutely just got demolished today. And if we're approaching the end of the year right now, the Lions are at a new place that they haven't been yet throughout the course of this season.
Right.
They have lost 2 of their last 3 games. Would be 3 out of their last 4 had they not lost to the Bears previously when they played them at home after a monstrous comeback in the fourth quarter.
Right.
You know, so I don't know, man. Like, this defense has had some holes. That's kind of been concerning for Detroit for a while now.
Yes.
Now the offense against lackluster defense can't do it too is kind of coming up short here.
Right.
They were held scoreless in the second half by one of the worst defenses in the league.
Yeah.
And this just, between this and what we saw in the Packer game, Packers are in the playoffs right now if they were to start today within the NFC. This just makes me have some concern about, is this just another team that maybe has been doing more than what we expected throughout the course of the season? Or are they really starting to rear their head now when it comes down to finishing a year strong? I'm questioning that right now, whereas before I didn't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, most definitely, bro. I got to agree with you. You know, this to me is more in the Lions than it is Chicago. Chicago, you kind of know what you're going to get with them. You know, it's impressive that they put up 28 points, but it's more of the Lions being a misfire, like you mentioned, on everything. The defense, yeah, it's had holes, but not to this extent where you had an offense like the Bears that could put up this many points. I mean, they've had holes, but I mean, there's no excuse for them to allow the Bears to put up 28 points. And then Jared Goff, we talked about him being a top 5 quarterback.
We did, man.
And look at him.
That's starting to evaporate real quick.
It is. It really, really quick, to the point like I almost forgot we said it. You know what I mean? So it's to me, It's just, it doesn't make sense. And you're right. The offensive line, we talked about the offensive line, how good it is. I think one of the issues with Goff, we talked about this, is him holding on to the ball a little bit too long. And some of those sacks, that's kind of how those sacks accumulate at times. Because he trusts his O-line, which is good, but he trusts them a little bit too long, you know, and sometimes it's hard for him to hold up. And he doesn't scramble. So, you know, I mean, he's going down as soon as the defender gets right next to him, defensive lineman, DT, DN, whatever. So it's not a good look. And then when you look at the remaining schedule, so they have Denver coming up next week. Denver's been playing some really good ball.
Denver's tough, man.
They're tough, so you know their defense. So if you're struggling with the Bears defense, Denver's really going to bring it to you next week. I know it's in Detroit, but Denver's going to bring it to you. You got Minnesota, who that's a rivalry game right there, so that can go either way. You know, that's just how rivalry games go. And then you got the Cowboys. The Cowboys, we just talked about this.
We'll get there.
We did off air.
Get to everybody else listening.
Right.
Cowboy fans listening, like, I got to say some stuff about us tonight. Yeah, chill, bro.
Yeah. We're going to get to it for sure. But something else we're going to get to in the next show, which is our preview show in the playoffs. The Cowboys is probably going to be fighting all the way up to the end of the season. So although these games is the next few games, they're going to probably still have their – I'm sure they're still going to have their starters in. So Detroit got to worry about that. So their schedule doesn't get easier. They have to take advantage of these games that are winnable games. If not, you know, they're going to find themselves – they'll make the playoffs, but they're going to find themselves in a worse position where they could have really just, you know, took over. Like you said, Green Bay's coming up, you know. So Detroit, yeah, that's a good one, bro. That's a good one. There's no reason they should have even lost to the Bears, let alone the way they lost, 28-13. And Ben Johnson, who everybody's talking about, who I like, I do think he's still going to have a bunch of interviews. If he wants a head coaching gig, he'll get one. But this is not a good look, bro. It's not a good look, you know. So you got to step it up. You got to step it up with the play calling.
This is a spot where Dan Campbell has been and always is known as a guy that instills motivation and belief into his team, maybe even when they necessarily at some time should not. But they're now in a position where they should have that belief. And they should start to feel really confident and take advantage of these teams that they are better than. And convincing them to continue to permeate that through what they do every single day. Right. That's another coaching challenge that I'm kind of excited to see how he responds to it. You know, and I don't want to pay attention to that. But these type of things towards the end of the season with the Lions is something that just can't happen if you want to get to where you want to go.
Right.
So for sure. We'll shift our gears now more to the positive side of things. Before we close out here, moving on to our ICUs. I see you, bruh. I see what you're doing out there. I like it. I see what you're doing. I see you. Jay? Did we watch Dallas Cowboys play the Philadelphia Eagles tonight?
We did, man.
We sure did.
We did. And to me, this was one of their best, if not their best game. Most complete game.
100%. I think this is easily the best game. Easily.
Yeah. Yeah, their defense, their offense, everything, you know, really was clicking on all cylinders, bro. And right now, you know, between them and the Niners right now is the best teams in football, you know, period. It's no question. You got Dak playing at a high level right now, you know, who is your sleeper for MVP, which I thought was a dope sleeper because right now everybody's talking about Brock, everybody's talking about Tyree, everybody's talking about different guys, but Dak right now has been playing really, really well. And I got to give him his flowers because I've been talking about it all season. This offense is not the same. He's not the same. The play call is not the same. You know, all that.
And you were validated when you were saying that, though.
Yeah, no, it was.
This version of this Cowboys team tonight, they found it. And this is why they're landing here on your ICU.
Yeah. And over the last couple weeks, I mean, I feel like the offense is really starting to click, you know. And today, you know, running the ball, we kind of talked about it briefly a little bit off air. But just really, I think what impressed me, one thing I talked about is I talked about the Eagles really bracketing CeeDee, not letting CeeDee take over the game. Well, they did a pretty good job on CeeDee. CeeDee only had 6 catches, 72 yards, 1 touchdown. And I thought, let Cooks be the guy. But no, it was Jake Ferguson.
Jake Ferguson, bro.
Ferguson came out of nowhere. Not out of nowhere because he's had some solid games.
And even last game against the Eagles, those tight ends got loose. And under Dak, when Dak is dealing, his tight ends profit from it.
Yeah,
they do.
They definitely profit from it, man. And he had himself a solid game. So you got to give him his credit, man. The run game really was opening up. you know, Tony Pollard, he might not be the number one back. That's fine. But, I mean, when you could run Pollard and then you can run
Rico Dowdle.
Yeah, when you could run back-to-back guys like that and they both can average, okay, 46, 48 yards. This guy got 40-something, 50 yards. That's solid, bro. That's a solid. That's solid from your run game. That's what you want. You know, especially
that's kind of what I talked about at some point with like this Dallas Cowboy offense and how Tony Pollard functions best is he's just not a bell cow dude, but he is a valuable piece to an offense.
Yeah, he is, man. And we've seen and we're starting to see how they're really using him now, man. They're not because I think they wanted him to be number one. I mean, that's one of the reasons why they let Zeke go. Obviously, all the money they was giving Zeke and Zeke kind of falling apart. But
and they didn't think Zeke could, you know, play like he did against the Steelers because the Steelers didn't know what's going on because Zeke has 72 receiving yards. Again. Anyway,
No, you're right. 100%. That's a fact, bro. That's a fact. You know, so yeah, I'm really impressed with this team, man. And it was who they beat. It was Philadelphia. It's another reason why I had to pick the Cowboys.
Exactly.
Because we had the Cowboys winning, but we thought that the game would be closer than this.
This is the second time we've seen the game in a week with the Eagles ending in the way we pick it, but not this wide margin.
Wide margin, bro. And some of it is to be blamed from the Eagles, but I'm not going to get into that. This is the Cowboys, not the what's going on,
right?
Right, bro, right. And I feel like this is more of what the Cowboys did than what the Eagles didn't do, you know? So. The Cowboys, shout out to them, man, and they're looking scary right now. If you're in the NFC right now, the Cowboys is a team. Cowboys and the Niners, those are the two teams right now that I feel like you know could really want to run away and make it to the Super Bowl.
It's the NFC title game right there for my money. I mean,
yeah, and they had a good game last year. Last year, the Niners and the Cowboys had a really good game. Yeah. It was more of a defensive game, but it was a good game. You know,
it was. So, it was close all the way to the end. That was the game with the run up and the spot and all that.
Right. Yeah. And did Brock go out in that game?
No, Brock went out in the Philly game.
The Philly game. Okay.
Yeah. No, actually, that was in the spot. So I'm thinking about. So if you think about like the battle, there's so many battles between this Niners. And this Cowboys team, if we're projecting forward to what we'll see in the postseason, like you said, those are the two creams of the crop when it comes to the NFC. Right. But I remember even just like in 2021, I think it was, when they had that like run up, spot the ball for it, and the ref had to touch it, and he like ran through the line and they ran out of time. There was that game that came like this close. There was the game that finished last year in San Francisco that was like 17-13. Right, both teams were just like neck and neck. It was Bosa making a play and Parsons making a play and like back and forth, that type of thing. And it was just, I think we're in line for another one. And if not, maybe them two meeting in the NFC title game, which is a spot where they have not clashed for a long time. These two franchises have met there and faced off before. We know the history.
Right.
Now we could be in position to potentially see that again. And hey, bro, we here for it.
I'm here for it, man. I'm here for football. And that would be a game. That would be a really, really good game, bro. Really good. Mm-hmm. So that's the one
we deserve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, that's my CU, bro. That's you know. And we talked about the Lions remaining scared. They got the Lions next. I don't see the Lions beating them. They have.
They got to play the Bills. Cowboys got to play the Bills.
That should be a good one because the Bills, the team I got
laughed
about. Bills
won today against Kansas City.
Now, see, I got laughed about real quick. You know, bro here thought, oh, well, you know, the Bills, you're picking the Bills over Miami. These are the reasons why. Now, I didn't know. I thought the Chiefs would probably win today's game. But it's just the way the Bills have been playing over the last few weeks.
We both had the Bills in the playoffs when we went through our AFC predictions.
Oh, for sure. But I'm talking about the last conversation.
About
Miami and the Bills
versus Buffalo.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. And I was talking about mainly how the Bills have been playing over the last few weeks. See, when we talked about it early on, when we talked about the projections, yeah, we had them in for sure. But they were playing some solid football. But then they went on that stretch where they looked real shaky. And right now, at the time when I said it, which was not too long, it was only last week, it's hard to pick them over a team like Miami or whatever because those teams have been a little bit more explosive or whatever. But the reason why I picked the Bills is because they've been playing better against these top teams that Miami just hasn't really looked good against. And here's the reason why right here, man. I mean, the Bills, I didn't think they'll win today. I thought it would be close, but they won today. They won a game like this, and these are the games they normally lose against the Chiefs.
The freaking offsides, bro. I can't do like a... It was offsides. It was offsides. Mahomes angry, all that shit, flipping out on the side. Did you see all that?
Yeah, I seen it.
It was offsides. I just can't. How many times is a Kansas City receiver just going to, like, fuck it up?
That's
like,
what I was going to say.
I dropped it off my hands, and it goes a pick six.
You know,
I'm Matt Valdez Scantling, and I drop it in the end zone. Like, how many times?
yeah, that's the point. And, you know, shout out CJ, the bro. Shout out SSAW. You know, he talked about, he wrote a post about that on Facebook and said, you know, instead of Patrick Mahomes going at it with the refs, he really need to be going at it with his wide receivers. And that's true. He do. He need to be going at his wide receivers because his wide receivers have been trash all year. You know, I mean, it's been the Travis Kelce show. It's always been his show, but he normally got a little bit of help. You know, he normally got other people helping him. And it just hasn't been that. And you don't see Patrick going in on those wide receivers.
What I think it is with Patrick and his receivers, so like a good, it's kind of like what a good mom does, right? If you have a good mom, or like, you know, like moms stick up for their children, good moms stick up for their children.
Right.
And what they'll do is, no matter what, they will defend in public and they will correct in private. I feel like Patrick Mahomes, I hope Patrick Mahomes is defending in public and screaming at that like the ref for show, for the public. But then when they end up private in the locker room, like, hey, y'all got to catch the fucking ball. All right? Okay? I can only do so much. Like, I got to throw the ball to Kelce, who got to throw the ball to y'all to get this win at the end of the game, but you can't even line up on sides. Look, I threw you the ball at, like, you know, at the end of the game, and then the dude jump on your back, but they don't call that. But if you just catch the ball, like, I feel
worry
like
about
it's...
It.
I, that's what I feel like it is. I feel like it's defend in public and correct in private.
Well, it ain't working. If he's doing that, it ain't working. Maybe he needs to yell at them in public to get them to do something.
You need to put
I'm
him on an All-State. You need to get him on an All-State commercial.
On an All-State,
like, bro,
commercial,
you need to bundle,
bro,
your receivers with your tight end. That's what you need to do. Get, bro, Jacob in there and be like, bro, okay, you need a new plan for your insurance package? We need to get you some new receivers in
something,
here.
Something, bro. Like, do something.
They do, man. They got draft gems in there from both of us. Tony for you, Sky Moore for me. You know, and both of them just shit in the bed, bro.
Yeah.
Both of them just shit in the bed. So, yeah, no, little brief tangent over there to the Chiefs right now. But that was a big win for Buffalo, and I'm glad you brought them up. And coming up next week, the team that I have here for my ICU, at least the offense for the team that occupies my ICU, will be a topic among the Chiefs, among the Bills, among the Steelers, because we're going to try to dissect this crazy finish going into the AFC playoffs right now. You have 11 teams all just sitting there in the mix, and this shit's going to get wonky. And, hey, just like I said before, if we get that Dallas and that Niners matchup in the title game, we're here for it.
Yeah.
So my ICU today it's got to go to Kevin Stefanski and Joe Flacco. That's just really where I'm at right now. I mean, this is the fourth quarterback this year to start a game for the Browns. And this is the first quarterback since Jacoby Brissett last season to go for 300 yards. The man is my age, 38 out there. Yeah. Like, bruh, I had to go through some, like, rehab stuff to squat right the other day. Like, my knees crack all the time. I got three kids. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Here, Joe Flacco out here bombing for 300. Only been with the team for a short little bit today, yeah, right? In his second start, this man, Joe Flacco, threw for 311 yards. He was 26 of 45. Just that shows you right there. We're going to drop back 45 times with Joe Flacco, and it's going to work.
Yeah.
Right.
Got to make it. Yeah. Yeah.
Got to make it happen. Three TDs, a passer rating of 92 today, and there was so many different things that I saw from him today. The first touchdown to David Njoku that he had was on that fourth down. They lined that play reminded me so much of Madden football. I don't know how much you play Madden, but people listening.
Oh, yeah, I haven't played it in a while. I've been retired from Madden a little minute, but Madden was my
fun as shit, bro. I still play it when I can. So if you go to goal line formation in Madden, it's just like an I formation and just
big
heavy personnel, two tight ends.
Right.
Right. That's all. They ran that formation. Then also in Madden, if you hit the right stick on Xbox to run commit, and you just, I don't care what's happening. I know they're running the ball. Everybody's going to react to the run. No one's playing coverage.
Right.
That's what happened on this play. They ran the Madden formation, and the freaking Jaguars hit the run commit button. Yeah. And David Njoku was wide open for a corner route. And Flacco came out to play action, spotted up, and hit him. Yeah. Like, that was really dope to see. There was just a couple other times, though, where I saw Joe Flacco doing things that quarterbacks for the Browns and for Kevin Stefanski have not done this year. This man was playing like his timing was exceptional. Deep dig route to Elijah Moore, just on time, right when Elijah come out the break. Like, this is right. what you and me saw when we was highlighting him as a prospect.
Right.
You know, like deep outs to Amari Cooper, back shoulders to Amari Cooper. That was the zero pressure touchdown. You know, the Madden play that I was referencing earlier, there was that. He also converted a 46 yarder to David Bell on another fourth down, and the Jags sent another zero pressure. Look, this is Joe Flacco. The dude's been on the couch forever. He's had a slower release. He hasn't played with these guys for a long time.
Right.
All this type of things that normally work when you have the horses coming after him that the Jags can deploy, especially against the Browns offensive line that maybe hasn't been as healthy as they would hope to be or as we're used to them being.
Right.
And they run this spacing concept. Flacco, like, drifts out of the pocket just enough to get some space, and he hits David, and he hits David Bell, who just turns around, and there's a fucking sea of grass. Just boom. Like that was so well. That was really well drawn up by Stefanski. Like, the fact that Kevin Stefanski and this offense are finding just ways to make things happen.
Yeah.
Right. I gotta commend them. They were my what's going on when they lost to the Broncos, and it was mostly about what they did. But after, like, second consideration on that, I was like, well, what did I really expect them to do? The Broncos are actually better than I thought they were at that time, something like that. And now, since going back and looking at what this team has done and what they've assembled and started to put together, Stefanski said today in the postgame presser, Joe Flacco is our starter for the rest of the year, and he should be.
Yeah, he should be. Now, I'm not expecting – this is the thing with Joe Flacco, though. Actually, you know what? I am going to say it. Today's his day. He's on the ICU. So
No, I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
I don't want to say it. I don't want to. Let's celebrate.
No, for real.
The reason why I say that is because Joe Flacco can get. He's not a good quarterback now. Him starting for the rest of the season. I think because DTR. How long is DTR out for? I just don't know if I.
I don't think DTR doesn't give them a better chance to win than Joe.
You think so? I don't know, bro.
I've seen two games of Joe Flacco. So last week, when they played the Rams, it was close again, right? He wasn't like a world beater, but I'm like, you know, they actually got a dude that can hit a 3rd and 10 versus man coverage.
Joe can get. That's why I didn't really want to talk about it, because Joe can get into that phase where he's throwing interceptions, where the ball is not going downfield, not being accurate like he was accurate back in the day.
He's not a. This isn't like, oh, Brown. Watch out for the Browns in the playoffs. Type of talk right here. Right. What I think this is, why this lands here in my ICU, is because this team has been just trying to find some stability at that position. They went and made a stupid deal. We talked about that for Deshaun Watson. He's out. They went in the draft and they got somebody with what capital they had to try to be another person to mix in there. Right. They even acquired PJ Walker because fine, they got PJ Walker. And then PJ Walker beat the Niners, et cetera. They just didn't sit on this and be like, you know what? Well, this is all we have. A lot of teams would look at it as like, what does Joe Flacco give you?
No, right? you.
And he's gave them something here. Throwing the ball downfield.
No, this is the perfect I see. I agree with you 1,000%. Because of what they went through and how many different quarterback changes they've had mm-hmm. to change up. So no, it makes perfect sense to pick them. I'm just hoping that he continues to at least play at a solid level.
Right.
So, I mean, at a high level like what he played today, I'm not expecting that every.
Sure. So you're staying. Let me correct me if I'm wrong. You're saying like you just nice job today, nice job recently, but his ceiling is still kind of relatively the same of what you thought.
Yeah, I think so, bro. Because okay. We've seen this with the Jets. See, he looked good at times last year. Jets, and it was like, okay, you know, they can just put Flacco in. I mean, he's won a Super Bowl before. Let's just try to go with him. Zach Wilson is that bad, but then Joe would look real bad. He played good. I think it was kind of like last year, first 2 weeks. I think he played the first, or it was a couple weeks after White, something like that. It was like 2 weeks in a row Flacco played pretty solid.
Pretty early in the year, I remember.
Early in the year. It was like either.
He was like leading the league for like 3 weeks in pass attempts.
Yeah. It was like three. It was like week three and four or like week one and two, something like that. He looked real solid. But then as the weeks went on, it was like, okay.
Okay, let's get him out of here.
Like, okay, we need to bring in White again. Yeah,
They let the man rest all like off season. I'll come in the preseason. Nah, man, you're gonna need to give me till like December.
to get right. So, but for the Browns, this is why it's a perfect ICU though, because of what the Browns have had to do. They have to go this way. The Jets had to go this way too, but they had the guy that they drafted, and he's just not playing.
Sure.
The guy that the Browns paid a lot of money to, he's always hurt. And then the other guy they drafted, he's a rookie still, so he's still learning. He's hurt, you know. So it's just a whole they're a little bit their hand is forced to go
with
Joe Flacco. So and he's played well the last 2 weeks. You got it. And they played against the Jaguars today again. Another I talked about this earlier with the Cowboys beating a team that's really good, but not just giving the team flowers that just beat a sorry team. The Jaguars is a really really good team. And Trevor Lawrence played today. I didn't even know if he was going to play.
I didn't think he would, honestly. I thought we were going to see C.J. Beathard going into this game. Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, the Jaguars, they were 8-3 going into today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So why not rest? You're thinking, okay, take
eight
a rest.
4.
8-4, 8-3. Okay, 8-4. So you're thinking, okay, take a rest maybe. Okay, fine. We don't want him to get seriously hurt. They threw him out there. And he played okay. He played solid. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. there was times where he took some tough hits and stuff, but, you know, they beat a team with Trevor Lawrence on there.
They sure did, man.
Gotta give him credit.
And right now, it's not like Myles Garrett is his usual self. Myles Garrett, last week to finish the game, like, or I think it was 2 weeks ago, right. He went out with an injury, I want to say, where, like, he had something with his collarbone, and it was reported that he had to have somebody help him put his shirt on.
Oh wow!
In that game, like he was that damaged,
right?
So yeah, that's pretty nuts. So
yeah,
but yeah, I gotta give it up. I think also for Kevin Stefanski, we had asked at the beginning of the season on like how hot is his seat this year, kind of depending on what we see right now.
Right.
I'm keeping him for another season, man. I'm not getting rid of him.
I am too, because all the stuff he's had to endure, all the stuff
mm-hmm.
quarterback situation. And then the defense playing a lot better. I know he's not a defensive-minded guy, but...
That's it. Caldwell's handling that, but, like, no Nick Chubb. Here they are. The O-line's hasn't worked. He's just shuffling through quarterbacks. He's making it work. Like, I don't know what else you could say that you expect of him overall throughout the course of this season than what he's done, honestly.
Yeah, Nick Chubb being gone. Mm-hmm. Their main part of the offense. I mean, exactly. We thought when Nick Chubb was gone, like, okay.
Oh, can't. Yeah, forget it now.
This is over. Yeah, it's over. Mm-hmm. The defense played really well for the first half of the season. They're kind of took a little dip, but still playing well.
Still playing now, still top five unit.
Yeah, and the offense went through quarterback changes, but they're still fighting. Yeah, give them another chance mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, oh, they lost Nick Chubb and they acquired Joe Flacco. Oh, bro, cancel Christmas.
Yeah.
Nah, exactly. Bro, how about like right here in the playoff picture?
Yeah, facts.
Yeah, sometimes it'd be like that in the NFL. But that concludes our week 14 recap. Like I said, we will be back on our preview show. Our usual game previews, going to tackle that AFC West playoff picture. Also be on the lookout. We will be approaching now that the season is starting to get towards its end before we get into our playoff coverage. Be on the lookout for our end of the year season awards. I'm going to drop my all-rookie team, my all-pro teams. Be on the lookout for all those. Keep it locked here on a Cover Zero podcast.